Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of the Sunday Breakdown. Now, where is Hong Kong food?
Pee.
Yep, he had to go pee.
Just let him out to pee?
Now we break it down, tonight's your night, we're gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd, Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud. Boom! Now we break it down, tonight's your night, we're gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd, Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud.
Listen up, because I got the mic. Get in the room because the space is tight. Cook the red zone, homie better get it right. Microphone control, Superman kryptonite. Turn it all on as you break it down. Giving you the blues on all around. Put the pounds in top of the breaking ground. Championship fight, flying around. This is gonna be the craziest test round. Look at all this controversy I found. Take your ideas, turn them upside down.
Hong Kong food with the bastard hound?
I don't believe the man, that's it, Craig. Jeff and Rob, let him out to play. Wanted in the traffic for a ninja display. Then there's no more Hong Kong food today. Don't you cry, guys, it's okay. Show was dead long ago anyway. Now the phone is yours. Take it away, call these cats out in MMA. Make it loud, make it live. Spirit of the Hong Kong food survives. No longer can the listeners be surprised. Take the internet, bring it back alive, come on.
Now we break it down, tonight we're gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud.
Alright, Sunday Breakdown. Squinch. Need to do it again. Hey, Rob.
What's going on, man? What are you doing, fellas?
Good. Great weekend for me.
Was it a great weekend for you, Dave? Let's talk about the event you were at last night, buddy. You were kind of an excited guy last night. I even saw you post a picture, which you don't do very much of.
I don't, you know. And I really didn't even talk too much smack. I let the photo talk for itself. But, man, what a freaking throw! My boy that I've been working with all week, right? And I'm not going to take too much credit because, you can't always take credit for the guy. But, shit, you know, when you work with a guy all week and he just, at first he wasn't doing so well in the first round, you know, he came out strong and him with the jab, almost knocked him out with his jab because he's been working his jab really good. And then all of a sudden he got taken down and he kind of got owned that whole first round. And I'm like, man, you can't. Second round, I come out there at the corner, and I'm like, come out, and I tell him, I'm like, you can't let this guy get a hold of you. He's not going to let go of you if he gets a hold of you. And, you know, you're going to lose an ugly decision, you know. And he came out and tossed him as the guy went for, like a step through, like bear hug. He hit him with, like, an over-under lat drop and knocked the guy out with. Man, it was crazy. Just because, you know, like, when you're not expecting that, you know, like, you're like, the fight wasn't going our way, and then out of nowhere, he just flat drops the guy right perfectly to the back, to his back. And the guy hit his head, and maybe they headbutted or incidental headbutt, you know what I mean? But.
So what was the beef behind this fight?
The guy told me he was gonna shoot me at one point, like over some bullshit. And he's a fighter and I'm a fighter. I'm like, and I told him, he's like, he's being disrespectful to me, and I said, you know what, I'm just gonna beat your ass next time I see you in the cage. I'm just gonna teach you some respect. You know, as a fighter, that's what I say. Next time I catch you in the cage, I'm gonna beat you down. You know, and he went farther than that and said, no, I'm just gonna shoot you when I see you out the street. I'm like, oh yeah, really? You know, my nickname's Insane, so you know how well that went over with me. So, like, honestly, I was actually the biggest person. I just left it alone for a long time, and then, you know, he stirred up some other BS and some lies and got a protection order after he told me he was going to shoot me. He went and got a protection order against me, and he said all these crazy lies to the cops, and I was like, wow, this is like right field. So I was like, at that point, I was like, man, there's no going back. You know, like, first, I would have went back and been fine friends with this guy if he would never involve the cops. But he involved the cops, and I'm just like, and he lied. How much he lied, and I have written proof of this fictitious story that he said. I'm like, man, you don't come at me all cross-eyed in front of my girl and my daughter and then say all kinds of crazy stuff and expect everything to be okay the next day or a week later. I don't let stuff go that easy for some weird reason. I think I'm still mad at that I think I'm still mad about that Matt Coble fight, ain't I?
Oh,
let it go, Dave. Let it go. That's what I hear that. I hear that a lot in my life. But no, I can't. Kevin Shaw, man, what a stud. He stepped it up and did his job. I mean, I didn't really do much but help him warm up a little bit, talk to him. You know, as a corner, as a colleague. I mean, he did great. Besides that, you got Adam Smith got his first pro victory. That was another one. He fought the crazy Indian dude, Roy Bradshaw. Roy's always a gamer. You never know with Roy, though. I mean, they were scrapping it out good, and Roy got caught in the armbar. But you never know with that guy. I mean, he can be really good on some nights, and then other nights he just, I don't know. You know, and the biggest thing with Adam Smith, he's like one of the most athletic guys I've ever trained with. And, I mean, if he harnesses his – he's like a big quarter horse. You know, you can't just run a quarter horse as hard as you can out the gate. You kind of got to build into it. And that's kind of how I was trying to explain to him the fighting, you know, build into your fight. And you've done all the right stuff. You know,
Dave, what can you learn about some of these younger guys around Washington that you see fight Roy Bradshaw?
I think
he's kind of a good measuring stick. Like, I think he's a good measuring stick for seeing where guys are at. Like, you know,
But I mean, Roy could be really good. I mean, Roy could be really talented if he lived by the gym or close to a gym. He lives way out in the res, so he doesn't have the elite training, but for Roy being not training as much as he's trained, you know, I mean, lack of training, he was phenomenal. I mean, he beat some great guys. I mean, he fought on some big cards. He's a gamer. I mean, and then Lyle Beerbohm put the beat down on Victor Estrada.
Yeah, what happened in that fight? Tell us about that.
It was the corner threw the towel in. I ain't never seen a towel thrown in the fight, and then Hamlet didn't even see it. And then they threw a
lot of
bottle
at him.
Well,
he doesn't have to accept it. Hamlet,
exactly.
That's the interesting thing about that. Hamlet doesn't have to allow the towel to be thrown.
Well, I know, but he was behind them. They were on the other side of the ring. There was no way that Hamlet saw it. I mean, his back was to it. But, I mean,
Victor
came out, and Wild took him down, got on top, put some ground and pound on him. And then Victor gave up, like, his back, and Wild took his back, and Victor kind of pulled the fetal position, and Lyle kind of stepped to the side after he ear-holed him a whole bunch. He stepped back maybe 3 feet and did like a Superman flying knee into his thigh, into his, like, kidney. And then he hit him some more, jumped to the other side, jumped like 4 feet away, and then jumped back at him with another flying knee to the body. That was one of the dirtiest beatdowns I've seen in a while.
Wow, so I guess the video
right
was.
How's your weight right now?
My weight?
Yes.
I'm good. I'm in training camp. I'm training with Mike Chiesa. Right now I'm actually at the gym. I've been weighing like 64, 65. I've been sparring with, like, today it's our last night of hard sparring, so me and Chiesa are mixing it up hard tonight. Like, fight hard.
Could you make it to 55 in 2 weeks? Could you make it
in
to
2 weeks?
55?
Yeah, what, Joe?
Mine.
Yours? Yeah? Call Jason. Call Jason and then call me after the show tonight and we can figure it all out.
Okay.
But yeah,
it's just,
I'm down.
Yeah, but you might be able to do it. It's just an idea right now, but there's space. So if I can find someone stupid enough to fight you, then it's a possibility.
Ask Rex Kane and tell him I'll go to the ground. I'm serious.
You can't match with your one arm. You can tie up one arm to your
tell
one arm.
It'll be a ground fight. Tell them also we'll start. We'll both fight from our knees. There's no standing up. All knees. You can't stand up in it.
Dave, did you get to watch
He can figure out what elbows are. Because I will elbow the hell out of him.
Dave, did you watch Elizabeth and Stevie fight?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Stevie hit her with like a push kick. In the second round, like the Silva Silva, when Silva knocked out, what's his name with it?
Vitor?
Vitor, you know, like that. It looked like that at first, and Liz hate it. I mean, it looked nasty. It was nasty.
So it sounds like that was a pretty good fight, huh?
Yeah, 2 rounds. I mean, she got dominated. She was just, she had too much size. She gave up too much size.
She didn't even
hit
135. She couldn't even get to 135 before she got on the scale. She weighed in at like 130.
I know, but there's just the size. I mean, they're both superior athletes, but when you get two superior athletes evenly matched, the bigger person is going to win if they're both evenly skilled, which they both were. They both were striking. The stand-up was very even, but Elizabeth was taking it to the ground, and she put the beat down. I mean, she threw a lot of punches. A lot of punches. She had full mount for probably 2 minutes throughout the first and second round. I know. It wasn't, I was like, damn, she looked like Stevie was going to get out and walk the cage, and then she landed in full mount again. And it looked like she was going to get out again, and she gave up her back, and then she was eating it in the ears. So, I don't know. Who else did really good? I don't know. I was really in the back. I was taping. Me being the nice guy I am, I ended up taping like 9 people. So
You should just charge 20 bucks a wrap.
I know, I should. Everybody taped one. Everybody but one guy, but he almost won. He got caught in a
That's like an extra $180.
But I didn't mind. You know, a lot of the times it's like a lot of guys don't have good corners to tape them. They just have their buddies. And a lot of these guys are so used to everybody else taping them. And like, man, shit, we used to have to tape ourselves. I taped myself a couple fights for my fight in Vegas. You know? I'm
That's
like, no, I can tape myself. I don't even mind. I've done it so many times that it's just like you get used to it.
Just wrapping your hands.
But no, hold on. Rick Little just showed up and he just has his radio on all out. I can't even sit in my car and, like, be next to him. No, Mike's got his huge fight coming up. I was hoping to get him on the air tonight. But I don't know how this is all going to go down. I'm just going to kind of put you guys on speakerphone and mute myself, and then I'll spar, and then on break I'll come back and talk or whatnot. You see?
Cool.
We can do that, or unless you guys want me to call you back.
Well, we can try it. If it sounds bad, we'll just disconnect you, and then you can call back.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just call back that same number you called me from, right?
Yep.
No.
Yeah,
I don't know what it says.
Yeah.
I think it's like a 347 number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Cool.
Yes. Can you say that
No.
now?
Hey, Dave, no, don't call that number back because it won't do anything for you. Just text Jeff whenever you're ready and I'll call you back.
Oh, okay. If it disconnects, I'll text Jeff.
Cool.
So. You guys want to talk to Rick Little a little bit?
No.
I'm going to hear him gasp about a show. Fuck
no. Fuck no.
Fuck no. Fuck him. I say that often. I think
hey,
I tell
ask
him
where my
off.
Press passes are.
Hey, Rick. Who said that?
Fucking
Skippy.
You guys need to get your press pass.
Skippy. Hey. Hey, Rick Little.
Hey,
Rick
Dave.
Little.
That's why.
Dick Dave.
Hey, don't worry about it. I was just fucking around.
I'll yell at him tonight, Jim.
He spent 2 hours
on Dave. He's like, hey, shit face.
And even his own player.
I called him shit face. I don't care. What's he going to do, beat me up?
So, hey, Dave, have you got an opponent for Nashville yet?
No, I don't know. I've been getting all over my manager about it. So... I've been getting all over him all the time, every time I call him. I like to call him after I leave practice because he lives in Florida, so he's 3 hours behind. So it's usually like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. when I call him. He told me I can call him anytime I want. He always answers. Oh, it's always good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, right. He always answers. But
did you have you been guys? Out on the lake or anything? You been how's the weather?
I don't go to the lake. I'm a farm kid. If I have a day off, I'm staying in the shade. Why would I want to be out in the sun? That's what I don't understand about people. They all work in all their families. I go to work, and we, like, construction workers or people that work outside, they don't want to be outside. That's the last thing I want to – that's the last place I want to be is, like, on my day off.
That sucks. Yeah, I couldn't imagine
you know,
that.
When you work manual – oh, I don't work – I, like – I just went and got a job for J&J Appliance, like, installing appliances for, like, Fred's, Home Depot, Best Buy. Like, I go around to houses and install high-end appliances. Which is fun because I get to play with all my tools. I collect tools. I have the coolest, like, Makita brushless 18-volt. I have, like, $5,000 worth of tools. It's ridiculous. I have better tools than my boss.
Time to get rid of him.
Huh? Well, I've been working for the guy for 5 years on and off. So, like, when I don't have a fight for a while, I'm like, hey, I need to come back to work. Yeah. And he's nice. I mean, Justin, I'll have to call him anytime to have him on. He's a great guy. He's a stud. I mean, his daughter is Mallory Jones. You know Mallory Jones, right? She boxes. She fought a couple times. I want to say she fought on the West Coast a couple times.
Huh.
I don't know.
I'm not familiar
so
with
she's
her.
A stud, too. She's an up and comer. She's honestly 2 or 3 years out from everybody knowing who she is. But if she sticks with it, you know.
Should she box or
could
should
be a
she
stud.
MMA?
She does both. She used to be a karate. She's Adam Smith. My partner, Adam, is his best friend. They did karate together for like 12 years. And they all came in at the same time. So she's been doing both.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I'm all sorry. I'm like in and out of those conversations. I'm trying to get all my gear situations. Are we wearing 16s or Sport Combat? Or which gloves are we wearing? And where's Skippy's press pass? I want you to email him a lifetime press pass for all your shows from now on. So he doesn't have to call. Skippy? You don't know who Skippy is? He has no idea who the hell Skippy is.
Madhouse
done. Are you okay, Rick? You need a hug? You don't know who Skippy is? Skippy. What's Skippy's last name?
Madhouse
Skippy. Madhouse. From the Madhouse, Skippy. You don't know who the Madhouse is? No, the Madhouse,
dude,
the radio
this
show.
Is fucking awesome,
right,
dude.
Oh, really? Yeah. They didn't want you on here. Here, come talk to them. They want to talk to you.
Oh.
Here, come take the phone. I got to get ready. Here, talk to you. He wants to talk. Here he is.
You're live on the radio.
Yo.
Hey, what's up, Rick? How you doing tonight?
Insane Kershane for you. What's up?
Oh, man.
Hello?
You're kicking it on the MMA Sunday Night Breakdown, man. We heard you had a kick-ass event.
Yeah, it went good. I tried to get on before, back when Hawkwist bent us over a long time ago. Elizabeth Phillips screwed her over, so I was trying to get on a long time ago, but I couldn't.
Well,
now I am.
Well, hey, you know, you're always welcome, you know, to hang out on the shows. Hey, who do we hit up for the media press passes? Because, man, we really tried hard to cover your event this time, and we couldn't seem to find who to get a hold of. So, well, we got you. Who do we send our emails to?
Well, you send them to me. It's just I'm about 5 days behind still on that event. I got overwhelmed with all the Dana White and everybody else stuff happening. It was nuts. It was crazy. Juliana Pena's got a bunch of stuff going on right now. She's got a bunch of stuff going on. As you know, Chiesa does too. Cecilia just signed. So the gym here has been a madhouse of talent. You know, Dave Kershane's on a roll. So we've been just, we're pretty behind here, to be honest. I'm trying to get everybody ready for their fights. We had the biggest show we've ever put on. So other than that, I didn't have much time to be sifting through my emails, but I better figure something out because I don't want to miss stuff like that. I don't mind. I wouldn't mind the additional coverage.
Hey, dude, no problem, man. Look, we'll figure it out, how to work it out in the future, because we definitely want to cover all your events. You know, we definitely did some of your fighters on the shows this week. So, and the fight turned out, just from what everybody's telling us, they were just great, great fights. So we look forward to the next one.
Yeah, and, you know, I blame that all on the venue, because when you put that together, that nice of a venue, I mean, that outdoor amphitheater they have at Northern Quest, and the way they have it set up is just amazing, and the way they treat the fighters is, I've never seen anything like it. So, I mean, that's just going to make the fighters fight that much harder, make it just more professional. It makes it very easy to put on a good show there.
So have you already started working on your next date?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go in there probably Monday or Tuesday, and we'll be working on another date for sure. Hopefully soon. I heard it might be pretty soon, in 6 or 7 weeks, but that's just hearsay. So I see something, you know.
Well, hearsay is a good spot to start at, you know. We work with a lot of hearsay sometimes.
Yeah, well, this isn't hearsay. You guys can come to my next one. I'll tell you now, so then when I get busy, just show up if I don't answer anything, and then, you know.
We'll just have Hamlet smuggle him in next time. It'll be all right.
Yeah, I need him to ref, so that's for sure. If you come in with him, I'm not going to kick him out.
Thanks, Hamlet. Just so you know, I'm already thanking you in the future for being a human trafficker into the Northern Quest Casino.
He's worth it. I mean, he's one of the best ref I've had, so, I mean, he's worth it for sure for me.
Yeah,
he did really good, especially
in that
girls fight. You know, I mean, a lot of people were debating on that girls fight of whether it should have been stopped or not. And he let it go exactly like a pro fight should go, in my opinion. I mean, every time that fight should have been stopped, quote unquote, and Hamlet was warning her, she was fighting back. She was feisty as all hell. I'm talking about Stevie. So
yeah.
So I don't know if you guys heard about it or saw it or whatever, but that was a brutal fight, and there was just no quit. It reminded me a year and a half ago with Juliana getting her arm broke and fighting the rest of the fight with one arm. And so she made it all the way through round two with one arm, about 2 or 3 minutes, and these girls are crazy. They're absolutely crazy. So all she could say to me on the stool was, put my arm in so I can finish this girl. That's all she was saying. And then I wouldn't do it, and we stopped the fight, and then she was finally pissed at me, not even at her opponent. Took it out on me.
But, hey, Rick, speaking of, you know, some tough pros that you were mentioning in the last few minutes, for all the fans out there, especially in the Pacific Northwest, give us two amateurs that we will see on the big show in the next 2 years.
Martin Mitchell.
Yep, someone just called that one. Who was that?
That was me.
Jeff from Clinch Custom Mouthguards.
He's right. He's smart. He knows that everybody that's coming through here is going to make it. So that's pretty good. Martin Mitchell won. I would say Daniel Spitz is another one. He's a heavyweight I have. He was a WSU football player. He just fought last night, knocked his guy out. There's two right there, and actually I have another girl named Elise Arnold who's 3-0, and she won rather convincingly last night, so there's another one. She'll probably be right in the mix, too, very shortly.
Is Martin Mitchell going to have an extra fight?
Say that again?
In your opinion, is Martin good enough to be a pro without any Emmy fights?
That's a tough thing to say. I mean, I would say yes, just based on his past credentials, but, I mean, we still got to get in there and fight. But then again, you know, in my opinion, fighting's 85% wrestling, and this guy is 100% the best wrestler around. So,
what's his wrestling background?
I mean, yes. He was a four-time state champion. So, that right there, to be, he's undefeated in Washington, never lost a wrestling match in Washington State. So something about this state, something about this state and Martin Mitchell makes him a winner, so anybody that fights him in this state probably going to be in for a war. I don't care if he does a little punch. 125 or 135, he walks. Well, 25. He walks at 35. But I'd have him fight at 35. He'll beat people at 35. So.
How would him in Running House? How what would him in Running House look like right now?
It'd probably be a pretty close fight, except for the vast coaching difference would probably make the difference between me and Bart. So, I would believe that would give it a giant edge one direction. Although Renninghaus is an amazing athlete. Pretty bold statement, but true.
I like it.
Who else? What was that?
Martin can fight amateur 135 August 3rd if he wants.
Where's that at?
Gagan Gill, Coulthard Gill's son from Canada.
Actually, he has it. August 3rd, wait a minute, second here. Yeah, August 3rd, he actually does have a fight at the Clearwater Casino in Lewiston on Frank Arnett's card on the Thunder and Lightning card.
Cool, good. I just wanted to get in there.
So, he'll have a fight there. But I'd like him to be at 25. I think he can invade the UFC in 25 in 2 years. I think Josh Gao will be in the UFC in 1 year at 125. And he's going to be one of the meanest 25ers around, I can tell you that. So he'll be tough to be at that weight.
Can they make 125?
Did he win a
125?
Yeah, he didn't try that hard on this cut, and he cut too much. We pulled him out of the sauna, and we checked his weight, and he was 133, and he was just fine. And this is without him really pushing a hard, crazy cut, you know. So I believe if he went on a big diet, strict diet for a month or something and really monitored it hard, he would have a tough cut, but he could make it. He's almost one of the most mentally disciplined guys in my gym. So, he, you know, Kiesa's cut's just as tough as that. So I've seen Kiesa do it. And he'd do the same cut regimen we have, and he would make it. He could make 25. The answer is yes. I'm talking too much. Yes.
And where do you want his brother at? 135?
Nathan? Yeah, with his frame, I'd like to get him a little bigger. I think he could make 25, but I would almost rather have him fight at 45 because he doesn't have quite the speed of his brother. He has the toughness and he has his jit skills, but I think he would do better at a higher weight class, honestly. So I would put him at 35, and Nathan would be too slow at 25, in my opinion.
He's a lot taller.
Although I don't think there's one any 25ers that could finish him. What was that?
He's a lot taller than Josh, isn't he?
Exactly. He's like a Kiesa at that weight class. I mean, he'd be Kiesa at 35, you know. He's just nobody as tall as him.
Yeah, he like
him and George Roop. Him and George Roop, 6'1".
Yeah.
Bantamweights.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
Exactly. Except for he's just a little prettier than George. So maybe a little more marketable. But Nathan's not that pretty though either.
You guys leave for Seattle Wednesday?
No, we leave for Seattle Tuesday. Yeah, we leave for Seattle Tuesday, and by about Saturday at about 9:00, there'll be a big upset after that.
What did you guys think about Masvidal saying that he doesn't see Chase finishing him anywhere?
Yeah, I know. That's funny because I look at it the exact same opposite. I mean, that guy is one of the most boring fighters I've ever seen in my life. So I don't know. I mean, he fights too safe in there. I don't know how long he'll even last in the UFC. They're probably waiting for him to lose one or two and be done because that guy throws little tight punches. I don't know if he's shadow boxing or he's fighting in there. So that's what scares me about the fight is not the fact that he's going to hurt Kiesa. It's the fact that he's going to run around and pull his little punches and look pretty like he always does. He looks great when he fights, but so does his opponent. I mean, it don't seem like there's much contact going on. And so it's, to me, a dangerous fight as far as decisions because Kiesa is a kind of wild man looking, and sometimes judges don't like that. And, you know, Masvidal is all smooth and hopping around, hands in perfect position, punches nice and tight. and you know, they judge on that, whether they land or not. You know, I've seen him win some decisions. You know,
I just think it's funny he doesn't. That way. I think that Dave is a harder sparring partner than Masvidal is a fight for Michael.
Someone, whoever said that, I agree with. I agree with that. He's a very similar to Masvidal with more power. You know,
yeah.
He commits to his punches more and more wrestling. So
yeah.
We got a good partner in Dave. We're using Dave. We're, I mean, that's what we're doing right now. We're about to start training, and actually they're yelling at me because I'm on the phone here, jabbering about how boring Masvidal is. But, yeah, we gotta start this class here. So I hate to cut you guys off, but Dave and
awesome.
Yes, sir. Is there any
well, we appreciate you hopping on
fight?
Here. We appreciate
yeah.
you hopping on and make sure Dave goes hard enough, but not too hard tonight.
Yep, and like I said, watch out for a few others. We have Elizabeth Phillips. She just is a dominant female, which I've always known, but now she's out and about. You would have seen her on the other side of the state had Rich Guerin and Brian Hallquist not screwed her over. But so we won't be over on that show ever with Elizabeth, and they did the same thing with Julie Pena. And we got a big announcement with Julie coming up, huge announcements with Julie. So these are two of the top girls around, so I would say stay on the lookout for them. I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the top 10 in the world after a year is over. So,
well, hey, thank you again, brother, for everything tonight.
Yep, thank you. I'll see you later.
All right, have a good
Thanks.
Night.
Everybody
oh, hey,
Rick
Anthony
Little
Hillen versus Rex Payne, Gee for Gee, spread the word.
Yeah, Rex Payne, don't God,
I have
Anthony Hamlet.
Rex Payne, you and Anthony Hamlet, Gee for Gee, sons of bitches.
And no more changing
get
her fucking
done.
Rules.
Yeah, like, if you can sub somebody in 3 minutes, what do you need? What does it matter if they're 10-minute rounds? It looks better, too, than subbing somebody in a 5-minute round, you know?
Yeah. No, I still love dude, that comment he put on there, don't back out like you're white. That was so great. Oh, shit.
Damn, I'm crazy.
Dude, I thought that was pretty funny. I originally thought that Hamlet was saying that was supposed to be in a gi, and then I figured out that it was not in a gi.
I don't know why Hamlet would give a shit what it's in. He should not care if they're naked or wearing parkas. He's such a badass, and we should just smash him no matter what he wants to wear. Make a point.
Well, and it's just
why
funny
would you
how...
call out a guy that... Go ahead, Scooby.
No, I was just going to say, it's funny how... We had just, not even 24 hours earlier, talked to Anthony and mentioned Rex Payne and the issues we had seen arise with him, and then he goes and starts shit with him.
Yeah. And he really did start it because Anthony didn't do anything. What he said was that he wanted to come down to the seminar that JT was doing, and he told me
yep.
he wasn't welcome, basically. So, I mean, that was weird. Why do you publicly advertise that you're going to have a seminar and so you can tell people they can't come?
Hey, and Lepaki, I'd like to steal your idea and openly publicly state this. I believe that Rex Payne should have to pay for 4 entries to this seminar because God knows how many people he's turned down. That's money coming out of JT Taylor's pocket.
Yep. I'm sure JT would understand, right?
Well, JT will really understand. I know him, and I see his house and car payment and the money he's in debt to the state of Oregon for running MMA promotions. Yeah, dude, yeah, straight up. He needs that $50, folks. So,
who
doesn't
need in today's economy?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right? Well, I say when Anthony taps him for every – dude, they should just go $50 tap. Every time Anthony taps him, $50 goes into the jar.
How about, like, add
yeah, 50
awesome.
Put 100 for the first one, 150 for the third one. So it keeps adding up. Like, after subs, you got 50, then 300.
No.
That's the way to
do it. No. We're going to go $50 a tap. Every time Anthony's tapped, $50 goes into Rex Payne and his gym's fund. Every time Rex's Payne's tapped, $50 goes into Anthony Hamlet's fund and gym. And here's what they do. You do a 20-minute match. Most taps win. And the winner takes all. Loser gets nothing.
Dude, I'm thinking that what we do is that we do like an Ironman or two out of three match where you do like a 10-minute round in a gi, a 10-minute round in no gi, and then in the third round, either you wear the gi or you don't wear the gi. It's up to you.
I can't see. Look at this. Now, because it's not
MMA,
you can go
around and put lumberjacks around the mat.
Yeah.
You're going to need them.
Every time you roll off the mat, dude, there's somebody sitting there whipping you with a belt. It'd be like a fucking good old Texas strap match, huh, Skippy?
I'm trying to picture this going down. It would be a pretty tense situation there.
I'd want to be a lumberjack.
It would be a very tense situation, I think, with the not a lot of love there. Doing a fight that's not really a fight, just grappling, would be really... If you didn't like somebody, it'd be really hard to not lose your cool and get frustrated maybe and do something that wasn't in the rules.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, after talking to Mr. Hamlet and his feelings on this, I am super pumped. I love his mentality of how he sees it going. And I'm all for it, man. I'll pay. It just better not be at Rex's gym, though. And I'm not going to say where that gym is, folks, but... Oh, cool.
It's going to be a turn standing show.
So at a FAMA or at a split decision?
Oh, I don't fucking know, dude. Maybe at Pearl City Wonders or something. I don't know.
So Trent's next show, whatever that is. You should try to do it soon because FAMA's not in best shape. His chances are better now when he's in bad shape. But I think he might have been misguided by that whole I'm only a blue belt thing. I thought he knew about Hamlet, but maybe not, or maybe he just is better than I thought.
Do we see, like, the monster Hamlet from Abu Dhabi show up and just murder Rex?
An older, slower version. But
that's what I'm saying. Does this get him riled up enough to where we see that style of Hamlet on the mat? To where we see that just super aggressive, take no fucking prisoners, choke you out, that did so well at Abu Dhabi. I mean, if that's what we see, dude, homeboy's in some serious trouble.
Hamlet has a bit of it. He's got an ego, just like me, just like, you know, he's not down with getting beat, he's not down with being called out and kind of being punked, so he'll come in super motivated and definitely will get 110% out of him. He doesn't like being punked. He won't be punked. He'll get killed before he'll be punked. So, not a guy to call out. He's a little hard. He's legit. If people can say what they want about him, go ahead and roll with him and see what happens. There's many pros in the Northwest who are very successful that have never tapped him. So,
well, dude, come on. Let's be honest, man. I don't give a shit who you are, dude. If you are in the top five at the end of Abu Dhabi that fucking weekend, you're legit, motherfucker.
Even at the top, you're legit. You even are at the event, you're legit, man. That's a whole nother level.
You said lose to Hoyler Gracie in the semifinals. Like, okay. This is like, that's like always the person at the top of my list that I want to call out in my BJJ career. Like, I'm, like, fucking thinking, yeah, this guy finished, yeah, the fourth at Abu Dhabi, this is a good way for me to not make my name.
Yeah.
That's like, I'll just tell you, dude, at the end of my classes when it's, like, open mat time, I'm not really wanting the fucking purple belts to be like, hey, you want to roll? Like, that's, you know, like, yeah, you need to roll with the purple belt. But, like, it's not like I'm sitting there, like, trying to get tapped out and not really, you know, have any fun. Like, I would rather if, like, another white belt was like, hey, you want to roll? So at least that way I know that maybe I'll have some offense. Other than, yeah, I'm good at that. Yep, I'm good at that.
Won't let the belts believe
it. I didn't know my... Man, I'll tell you what, though. If any fans really want to see some beautiful groundwork, man, they got to make that event and watch Anthony just... Because, I mean, when was the last time he was in a tournament of any super significance?
Abu Dhabi. Well,
yeah, I mean, the last time he fought was Ian Loveland. And Ian was 19 years old.
That was like 2006.
I have a video of it.
So yeah. This is going to, dude, this, I love it, dude. I really love this fight, or this BJJ match, apologies.
Yeah, definitely not a fight.
No, Jeff, what was the event, like, how was Battle at the Bay, dude? You know, we're sitting here, we can sit here and bullshit about Anthony Hamlet and Rex Payne, but
no, I'm
unless it goes gee for gee, unless it goes gee for gee, I don't give a shit. Gee for gee. Hashtag gee for gee, people. Start the fucking train.
Might
so,
be.
Battle at the Bay, last night, Joe DiRabbio show, first time you got to referee it. Did you make any fucking mistakes?
Yes, I did. Come on, ref. Totally.
Come on, ref. Oh, he's giving himself a come on, ref.
Oh, I totally would. I totally fucked up, but no, I learned from it. I didn't cost me the fight. Nobody got hurt, but I made mistakes, so I definitely will learn from it. Won't happen again. But they were stuck in a submission that wasn't getting finished for too long, and it was stuck there for a long time, like almost the entire round, and about more than 2 minutes in the same position, and I just finally, and it was the second round of that, and I just stopped him, stood him up. But when you've got someone in your triangle, you shouldn't be stopped and stood up. Whether or not you're still working on it after 2 or 3 minutes, it's not a decision I should have made, so I'll learn from it, it won't happen again, but yeah. Yeah, so it was my come on, ref. My shine box. But it was a good night.
Wow.
Some really good fights. Really high-level amateurs. They had some really high-level amateurs. Yeah, Albert Katavosian fought Nick Burnham. Some say that Nick's the best 145er in the Northwest. He's really talented. And actually, I didn't judge that one. Somebody else did. And I had Katavosian winning, but he ended up losing a split. It was a really good fight. I'll have video of it up in a little while. And then the best fight of the night was definitely the main event, was Off the Hook. But we should have him on to talk about that one. Because it was unreal. When you see Matt Coble and Colby Hoffman fight, was sick. It was so unbelievable. Colby Hoffman is the toughest motherfucker I have ever seen in MMA, ever. So tough. So tough. He's tough. Not talented. Not best fighter. Toughest. You couldn't tell anything was wrong with him. He's getting kneed in the face over and over, and in between knees, he's telling the ref, "Don't stop it, I'm fine. Don't stop it, I'm fine." Like, what?
And you're the ref?
Psychopath. When the fight was over, he looked like that creature from Alien. His bottom lip was split from his lip to the bottom of his chin. Really, folded open like that. Like Alien. And wouldn't even phase him. He's like, "Fine. He was fine. I was fine. He was ready to keep going." Like, oh my gosh. It looked like someone hit somebody with a chainsaw in the cage. It was still sprayed with blood like a movie. It was crazy. But it was a good fight. It made it to almost the second end of the second round, and they just battled. Back and forth. Lots of stand-up. Almost entirely standing up. It was great. Great fight. It was night and day from the fight that you said you saw him in, Rob. Night and day. It was what I expected before.
Really?
Yeah. It was awesome. Real fun. You did a great job. I got the video. I just haven't got it up yet. I'm going to start uploading it. Phoebe's trying to listen to the show and says that it keeps dropping. Skippy. Keeps cutting out.
I don't think Skippy's paying attention, bro.
I am.
Skippy's on
vacation.
I'm
pulling it up. Hey, no. I'm pulling it up right now.
I can hear it.
Hey, Eddie Blackburn, since I know you're listening, it's 7-7 Yankees Red Sox right now, middle of the eighth.
Go Red Sox.
Shut the hell up, man. Never say those fucking disrespectful words again.
No, I don't even really care.
God, I can't even believe that you would allow words like that to come out of your mouth. The PED Sox.
Anything for a laugh.
There's no laughing going on, man. That's hurtful.
It's good to know that. I'll keep that in. When I want to hurt you, that's what I'm going to throw at you.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Mention the Red Sox, because they're fucking horrendous. Dude, okay, so last night at URC 42, man, Skippy, you were watching that shit with that fucking guy. Just fucking two-piece that fucking kid, Rob Gamble. You remember that fight, Skippy?
Yeah, I do. Dude, look, I am listening to the live broadcast on a secondary system, and it's not cutting out on me, so I'm trying to listen to that and listen to you, so I apologize. But yes, I do. And that kid, dude, that whole card wasn't bad, but that kid definitely stole the fight, man. He made you remember that show.
Yeah, dude, like, that kid he was fighting was from Team Alpha Male, and Jeff, he hit him with, like, a fucking, like, straight jab that, like, snapped his chin, like, straight down, and the guy just fucking, like, dropped straight to his knees, you know, like, it was almost like in the movies, dude, where, like, the guy just dropped straight down to his knees, and his shoulders dumped down, and, like, he just kind of, like, his jaw, you know, he just fucking kind of, like, folded there, sitting up on his knees like he was a Highlander and the guy was going to fucking slice his head off. And then this fucking guy, Rob Campbell, just fucking comes straight from the side and fucking blasts him with another, like, straight right hand right across the fucking chin. And just, this dude was just like, gonzo. Rob Campbell, Rick Azunza. That fight last night, you can go buy Ultimate Reno Combat 42 on GFL. I think it was $9.99. You can watch that fight over with me. If you don't think that was an awesome knockout, go fuck your dog's mother.
Dog's mother. Always confuses me.
Huh?
You're old. You're saying that always confuses me. I spend like 10 minutes trying to figure out who my dog's mother is.
The girls' championship fight, though, Aspen Ladd, Veronica Caruso at that event, I would really like to see them rematch because I'd like to see what happened if Veronica doesn't slip when she throws that punch. And then it just turned into a grappling match and she got caught in an armbar. I think that could be a really good fight. It definitely, the 25-second finish isn't really resembling of the two girls that were in the cage last night. Both are really top-notch amateur fighters. I was expecting a war, but you never know what's going to happen when the cage door closes, do you, Jeff? Where the fuck are you motherfuckers all at?
I started to type on my computer, and you were talking, so I muted it, and then couldn't get back to unmute you when you said, right, Jeff.
God damn, man, you guys need to fucking focus. You two, we're going to have us to come to Jesus talk right now, me, you, and Skippy. We're going to just get this shit straight. You two need to really step up your game tonight.
Praise the Lord.
You guys are really dropping the fucking ball tonight. The listeners are reaching out to me. Hey, I didn't want to hear from you,
Sally. I'm not dropping the ball. I'm working the board, and I just now I ran that on Firefox, Explorer, and Google Chrome, and I haven't had it drop yet, so... I don't know if it's his cell service, if that's what he's running it on, but if he's running it on the internet right now, I'm not having any issues. So I apologize, guys, if you're having problems.
Stevie.
Did he have T-Mobile?
Stevie? This is who it is.
Oh,
Stevie's
well,
the one that
I'm very...
But if you can hear
I
you
hope
know, if you
Stevie
just
never takes another... Since she's listening, I hope he never take another fight at 135. Never again.
Put 10 pounds of meat on?
I don't think she can, dude. I really don't. She's a 115.
She went to the third round. She went to the third round with Elizabeth Phillips for her debut. That's pretty freaking impressive,
dude.
I think.
And it sounds like the fucking front kick that she hit her with was pretty awesome, too.
Yeah.
Whoever's got tape of that fight, they need to make sure that I get a copy of it.
Oh, Stevie has a film crew that goes with her, so there'll be a... He's got a great Rafi, I think is his name. He does her video stuff. He does great
job.
So
she does have a good video sponsor. I can't think of their name right now, but.
His name
yeah,
is Rafi.
Definitely go check it out.
Like somebody's name. But he does great work. It'll be cool.
Hey, and I heard that Larry Pereira went and won a strap at Brian Johnson's place last night.
Yeah, won the main event at 12:30 in the morning.
Dude, how funny was that? We're like, what the fuck is going on with this fight? Where the hell is this fight at? And then, like, right as we get done talking, you're like, you said something like, his last event didn't finish till like 12:30. And then about 12:40, my phone starts blowing up.
There was guys who were at my fight in Anacortes, which is way up north, who fought and drove all the way down to Olympia and went to the fights and saw the last five fights. And they had to fight themselves. It was more than 90 miles away. It was like 90 miles away.
Insane!
insane. That crazy?
That's a long
Holy
night for them
shit.
And a short night for us.
Dude, that's awesome.
Hey, and speaking of... call him now? Oh, I was going to say, folks out there, I got to just say, talking about a fast pro card that was completely great fights top to bottom, excessive force fighting championships, folks. Chris the Polish Hammer Horodeski came out there and beat down Shady Tim Smith. Dude, ridiculous arm triangle win, 256 around one. Great to see him get that win, but that whole card was good. Good.
You know, I feel like I've been watching Chris Horodeski since he was, like, in kindergarten fight.
No doubt.
Like, I remember when they were, like, talking about Chris Horodeski. This kid just turned 18, like, last Friday in, like, IFL. Like, that's how he, like, made his name in IFL. Like, he just turned 18 Friday. He's missing his prom to take this fight here on the IFL. With the Chicago fucking War Masters or whatever the fuck they were called back then.
He was one of the best IFL fights I ever saw. It was him and Shad Lurley in Everett when they fought. When they came in, IFL was here in Everett. It was a great fight. We had a battle. I'm sure you saw it before.
Dude, yeah, because wasn't that the, what was the name of the Seattle team that was,
The Tiger Sharks. It was Mo Smith's team.
Yeah.
Mo Smith was going to be fighting Matt Kovacs on November 2nd, Kent Schiller Center.
Yes.
Matt
hey,
Kovacs.
By
oh,
the way.
Who in Matt Kovacs?
Murray Smith. Big Mo, former UFC heavyweight champion, 5-time world kickboxing
what?
Champion.
Dude, you missed the
what?
Rogue Show
Why?
Friday,
dude.
Well,
did you miss the Rogue Show? We announced everybody.
Why?
You should go back and listen.
I know you...
No,
dude, he knows about
that,
all the other fights, right? You know about Bobby Lashley and Anthony Hamilton, and then Drew.
Okay. I know about all that baloney, but let's just talk about this fight. I can honestly say I'm not a fan of this fight.
Why?
Not a fan of it.
Okay.
I just don't see it going well.
For who?
For Maurice Smith.
Most people think Maurice Smith's going to win. So you're definitely in the minority because most people think that Maurice Smith's going to win. He's definitely the favorite. He still trains. He's 52, 53 years old. But
I know he is, dude. I know he is. But I also just watched him fight. Like I watched him fight about a year ago
yeah,
on some
Cordoba.
Event. Like I want to say in Vermont or something.
What's Cordoba? Jorge Cordoba from Spokane is who he fought. An amateur who's from Washington State here and yeah. But his head kick knockout didn't impress you enough? Good fight.
That fight just wasn't... See, this is kind of one of those spots, man, where I find myself thinking, you know, I have the utmost respect, and I remember watching Maurice Smith throw down with the best of him when he was in the UFC. I've watched him kickbox. I've watched him do it all. But, I mean, dude, Maurice Smith at 52, I don't really want to see him fight, man.
Why?
That's not what I'm wanting to see.
It's a tough dude. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. He's not, like, washed up. He wants to win. He's not, like, a, you know, just showing up for a paycheck. He wants to fucking win.
Yeah,
but, dude,
when I just look at that's like he's getting in there with a little Brock Lesnar.
With the what?
Like, he's getting in there with somebody that could seriously hurt him.
Everybody's getting in there with someone that could seriously hurt him. They're heavyweights.
Well, you know, yeah, but not a lot of heavyweights like that guy.
How many kicks you seen Matt throw? I mean, how much you seen him wrestle? I mean, he's a banger. He's going to try to punch his head off. But things balance out when you throw in all the other things. There's probably going to be a watch on the ground, or Mo might, some people think Mo's a little bit better on the ground. He trains with that in Salisbury. So, that game, and he's super tough. He's
I'm not saying anything about his skill or anything. I'm just saying it's just not a fight I want to see. It's not one that interests me. It's not one that would like that I would write down on my list of fights that are coming up the rest of the year. It's like, man, I can't wait.
I bet you after it's over, you feel differently, that you're like, damn, that was better than I thought it would be. We'll see.
Just remember, I immediately like Kovacs.
He gets to fight a legend. Why would you? I mean, your friend gets to fight a legend, dude. That's good.
Yeah, I understand, but at the same time, what does it do for him?
Beating a legend? He gets to say he beat a legend. Former UFC heavyweight champion. 5-time world kickboxing champion. It's not like Matt is the champion. You know, he won 5 pro belts. He's a stud. But he's not Maurice Smith. He's not a legend. He's a local legend. It was great for him. That'd be a great thing for him to put in his, you know, mark on his wall. It's something he accomplished in his fighting career. He fought Maurice Smith and beat him. Or he fought Maurice Smith and lost. Either one is a great experience to fight a legend. It's a huge honor.
I don't know, man. You're going to have to work and convince me that that's a fight I don't want to watch. But right now, as where we sit on Sunday night, getting ready to take our halftime break, that's not really a fight that tickles my fancy, bro.
Well,
there's some fights on that November card. There's some fights on that November card that do tickle my fancy, but that's not one of them, bro.
Huh.
Yeah, you know that I don't really like watching guys that I watched fight, like, in the early 90s still try to bang it out today.
Why are you okay with Tank fighting?
Because, man, like, Tank is an anomaly, dude. Like, Tank never, you know, like, I never really had, like, a big, like, I liked Tank. Like, I liked Maurice Smith, dude, because he originally came from the kickboxing background to become the UFC heavyweight champion. And if anybody knows anything about me, would know that I came into MMA, like, through back channels of boxing and then late-night kickboxing and Muay Thai fights and then watching UFC. So, you know, I mean, I kind of, like, I always will have a better relationship with guys, even if I don't know them, that did kickboxing originally.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I really don't want to watch a guy like Maurice Smith, like, you know, go out. Like, he doesn't have to prove anything to me. Like, there's nothing left for him to do, man. He's climbed the fucking mountain and sat on top and been like, I'm the motherfucker. My name is Maurice fucking Smith, and everybody knows who I am.
Well, you know who you do want to see, who it would be good for you to see, and who you will see, is Matt Coble, like last night. Just pour it up.
Last time I saw Matt Coble, he showed me that he had a granite chin.
Well, we're talking to him.
Well,
now.
Instead of talking about him, here he is live with you guys on the Sunday night MMA breakdown. Matt Coble, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, so I'm just kind of enjoying myself. I had kind of a crazy weight cut, and then like I went out there, did my thing in the cage, and now I'm enjoying some margaritas and Mexican food. I don't know about you guys.
Dude, I enjoyed some cigars and some time fishing on the river today.
Cigars make you stinky, and so will fish.
And some herb, and it was a great day, man.
That's a good day, dude. That's a good day. It's legal now, so you're good to go.
My day was not so good, but that's okay. I'll live vicariously through you, too.
Yeah, man, I heard you guys talking about all the old schoolers, like the Maurice Smiths and the Legends and stuff, man. Those guys are legit. I used to play those guys in the Dreamcast UFC video game like 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Smith.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like you could say, like, oh, I'm not really watching them. They don't have anything to prove to me now. But, like, it's like a blast from the past. It's like watching Sylvester Stallone make another movie, you know?
And that's probably something else I can do without.
So, Matt, what do you think about that fight that we were talking about? What do you think about Matt Kovacs against Mo?
Matt Kovacs against Mo?
Yeah, they're fighting November 2nd for Cage Warrior Combat at the Kent Show or something.
Are they really fighting, dude?
I think you're fighting, yeah. I think you're fighting. Hey, I've been salivating
that's
on the card.
That's awesome, dude. Hey, I think that fight would go a couple different ways. Like, either age would be an issue or Maurice Smith would use his methods. Like, he's got some really sick methods, but both those guys are tough as nails. Like, I never would have once in my life thought that either of them would ever be fighting each other, so I really can't even comment, like, intelligently on that one.
You trained with both of them, though, right? Did you roll with Mo?
Well, yeah, I rolled with Mo a little bit and trained with him for a day or two back when I was going to Salivary's on Saturdays, but Kovacs I've had a lot of time with, and, you know, just a you know, built up a relationship, like a friendship relationship with them. So, like, I don't know, watching some guy that I used to pick on the Ultimate Fighter video game for Dreamcast 10 years ago go against one of my friends is just, like, funny to me, you know what I mean? I don't know what to say. I don't know what could happen. It'd be cool. If he beats him, I think he's an asshole. How about that?
How's Mo's ground game?
I mean, it's good. He's been around the sport long enough to, like, know what's up. You know, I'm sure, like, once, you know, somebody who's known for their kickboxing has been in MMA long enough, they understand that they have to evolve. I mean, everybody punches and kicks and grapples. I mean, that's, I always say that.
Yeah. How's your knee today? Does it hurt?
My right knee has teeth marks on it, because I guess I'm not.
Dude, what was that fight like, Matt? It sounds like you must have launched about 65 knees that landed pretty firmly, and this guy kept walking forward.
It was crazy.
Where'd he go? Hello?
Skippy, where'd Matt go?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yo, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you. All right, cool. Well, so, like, the weight cut didn't go that good. So, like, mentally before my fight, I was just like, man, I don't really feel it. I wasn't nervous. Like, you know, like, I thought I was going to lose nervous. I was nervous and, like, I don't know if I did the right shit to my body to get ready for this type of nervous. And, like, I live in my gym. You know, that's where I work. That's what I do. So, I mean, I'm always training. I'm always working out. But I think, like, just having that knowledge of knowing, like, my body, I couldn't understand that. I could have done way better in that fight. I could have done way better in any fight. But I ended up coming out with the win, which is good. But the first exchange we threw, he hit me pretty hard. You know, he took me down. I was on my back. I was beating him up from my back, though. That was pretty sweet. I caught an armbar on him, two of them, which I could feel his arm, like, snap a little bit. And the dude wanted to tap. He's tougher than freaking nails. And I was sitting there, like, pulling on it, trying to, like, shove my cup into his arm, you know, like, that's why they don't let you wear cups at the Revolution Tournament for that reason. But I was, like, doing everything I could to get that arm bar, and I couldn't finish it. And then, you know, the second round, I figured, you know, once I landed a couple knees to his face, that it was my fight, and I came back and won. Like, I mentally, like, came back into it because the crowd was there, you know, it's my hometown and everything, and everybody just pumped me up. So, I mean, it really, that fight was won 100% on mental, like, mental fight, you know, mental overcoming of the crap that I was dealing with that day.
Well, it was very impressive. I mean, I've seen almost every single one of your fights, you know that, and I was impressed, dude. That was great. Your mental toughness in that one, where you could have gotten, I mean, I could tell you were tired, but you didn't let it affect your game. You just kept on pressing and pressing, and then he started getting tired, and I could see, you could see that, and you're pressing harder. He seemed starting to fold. You had to know that physically he was folding, even though mentally he was there fully, but physically he was falling apart, and you were taking it, and it was just one exciting end to the fight. It was a great night of fights. For that to be the ending is fucking awesome. And it was close fight. This round, two judges had him and one judge had – no, two judges had you and one judge had him. Or vice versa. And then the second round, obviously, you won, but it was a close fight.
It definitely was. He landed a couple good shots. One standing up in the first round, and then when he took me down, he landed a really solid elbow, and then he landed a knee in the second round that kind of I felt. And, you know, it's good that I can at least remember everything, because yeah. I've had fights where I don't remember anything. You know, it's just, I'm like, holy shit, I won.
Yeah, Sam Cecilia fight.
The Sam Cecilia fight, I remember everything. I remember getting my ass kicked for like a minute and a half, or like actually 3 minutes, and then choking him out, like, luckily.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, but he didn't land very much. I was just like, when my coach landed, would be like, all right, everybody, you're going to start shrimping. Go. And then we'd shrimp for like a half an hour, just up and down, up and down. Like, that's what saved me, you know? Like, shrimping is, like, it saves lives.
Hey, Matt.
One of the most basic things that you do.
Matt, before we jump into last night and start talking about that a little bit more in the future, we're going to pay some commercials, some bills real quick with a commercial break, and then, folks, we'll be right back.
All right, cool, man.
If we don't have
we don't have everything set up quite yet, folks, for Clinch's show. I dropped the ball. I'm going to give a big shout-out to their sponsors, Revolver MMA. You guys check them out. Great clothing line, supporting local MMA at RevolverMMA.com. Also, Mikey Ruckus. You guys can find him, Mikey underscore Ruckus, on Twitter, on Facebook, and on SoundCloud. Best walkout music for any fighter, whether you're a promotion, a business, a radio show. If you just need theme music or a walkout song, hit them up. Also, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, the major sponsor of this show. GetClinched.com, the best mouth guards in the business, and MMAMadhouse.com for all your local MMA coverage. We're going to play a quick song. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
I just sent you a radio interview and shit. This afternoon here.
How many margaritas deep are you?
Just two, but they were delicious and gigantic.
Now, is this a typical post first day after the fight celebration routine, or do you tend to mix it up?
I grew up in Skagit Valley, so like I'm all about Mexican food, you know.
But today, like, I've never floated the river before, and we went and floated the Nooksack River. It was pretty fun.
Oh, right on, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was actually pretty dangerous. Hit my ass on some rocks a couple times, and, you know, I was pretty sore from the fight, so it was like, it wasn't very safe for me to be floating in the river today, especially as intoxicated as I might have been.
But there's no other way to float the river.
No, there's not, you know, and, you know, we're being safe, you know, and, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm responsible. Sober driver and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think Jeff believes you.
Yeah, he does for sure. He'd probably be that sober driver if I needed him to be.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Hey, so you fought last night. Did you have any of your guys fighting last night?
Yeah, actually, I had three other guys on the card. We're supposed to have four other guys on the card, but something happened with the co-main and all that, family problems and all that, we understand. So, you know, there's no poor sportsmanship towards that. But we had one of my up-and-coming guys, Andrew Park, fight. He went out there and, you know, he was fighting himself mentally because he hasn't been training very hard. And, you know, he didn't come up with the win. But then we had Curtis Haig go out there, one of my big guys, one of those, you know, ex-football player, big meathead dudes that, like, you know, really buy into the mixed martial arts program. And that's awesome when something like that happens, because then you get a real athlete doing a real sport. It's amazing because, you know, they understand that they get back what they put into it. So Curtis Haig got back what he put into it last night, and he came up with the victory with some ground and pound. And then we had Duncan Vance go out there. Duncan Vance is the guy that I got with me. He's usually fights at 135, but he cuts down to 125, makes a pretty deep weight cut like I do. You know, he wrestled and stuff. You know, he's 30 and he's, you know, trying to do his thing. You know, he's just found MMA and it's, you know, really made a big difference in his life. It's kind of a blessing for him. And, you know, he's been doing what he can do. He's been taking fights against really, really tough guys because he's tough, you know. So, you know, whether or not it goes to decision and he doesn't get the decision, that's whatever. But last night it prevailed because he didn't give up. He kept with it and he whooped ass and he came up with the decision. So that was really good for me. Like, some people saw me cornering my guys with my hands wrapped and were like, oh, this guy's going to corner his guys and then fight. Like, oh, you know, like, you know, it's not unprofessional because it's more or less like I'm here for them. Like, I'm their coach, but at the same time, they're my coach. So when it was my turn to fight, everybody strapped on the hat and I strapped on the gloves, you know, vice versa. So it worked out. Everybody had a good time, you know.
Duncan did great. Duncan looked like a beast, man. Obviously improved his cardio drastically. Drastic cardio
his boxing looked good, too, huh? And his cardio was off the hook, and he was just
a
little
scared. Hunter's got a lot of experience, and he did great. I'm very impressed.
No, Hunter's no joke, you know. Hunter's a tough kid, and that's just how it is. You know, the 125-pound division, a lot of people say, oh, it's a good weight class to be in. There's not a lot of guys in there right now. But, no, there's a lot of 125ers, and, you know, they get overlooked. But they're the guys in the gym that hit you 20 times before you realize it, and, you know, you're like, if that was a guy my size, that shit would have knocked me out.
Yeah, that was – he was right up there for fight of the night. Yours was definitely fight of the night. He was ready.
Yeah, you know, I'd give it to him any day, though, you know.
Your meathead, that was a pretty interesting fight. I want to see him fight.
Yeah, he finally graduated to not being a meathead anymore. He's a martial artist now.
Okay, well, you're martial artist meathead. I want to see him fight again.
Yeah, we got to get him trained up, and he's ready. He fought Thomas last time, and Thomas is a tough guy, you know. He's got way better grappling than him, and he kind of had that, like you guys were talking about Matt Kovacs earlier, he had that Kovacs mentality where, like, I just want to knock people out, you know. I'm not really trying to go to the ground. That's a waste of time. I just want to knock people out, which it works for Kovacs to a point, but, like, for somebody who's just getting into the sport, they need to understand that that shit's evolved so much that they have to kind of take a deep breath and learn it all before they think they're just going to find one thing that's going to make them win, you know. Like in Mortal Kombat, I'll just sweep you a bunch of times and get you in the corner and press the same button over and over again, and people get pissed because I use the same move. But, like, it's because I played the game long enough to learn the move. It's not like I just started doing that, you know.
Nice.
Interesting analogy.
That's real stuff right there.
So sometimes isn't that what it's like in the corner, Matt? It's kind of like you're sitting there calling things out, like similar to playing a video game?
Dude, it's just like playing Nintendo. I told you guys that last time when I was talking about Absolute Chaos. I was going to be the guy that started bringing an Xbox controller to the corner, but then I didn't want people to start thinking I was conning on my guys. But I think that would be some pretty good publicity for my gym, is bringing an Xbox controller to the corner, and everybody be like, what's he doing? And then I'm just, like, pushing buttons while I'm yelling at motherfuckers. That'd be hilarious.
It'd be great.
Well, maybe
what we
need to do is work the Xbox sponsorship.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to, like, steal my idea now, fuckers. It was Matt Coble's idea to bring a controller to the cage.
Change your calls in the corner, too. No more 1-2s. Change it to, like, A-B. B-B-A.
Yeah. A-B, A-B. Up, down, up, down,
cool.
Left, right, A-B, start.
Yeah, that would be fucking rad.
You got to rotate the other direction, but that would make sense in two worlds.
Straight
you know
left.
You know who would fuck anybody up in the UFC video game? Anybody in the whole world who would beat them? Tim Abel. That kid can play that UFC video game like no other.
Wow.
Tim Abel. I do not like playing him on Xbox Live. It's no fun. He just beats you every time. It's bullshit.
Wow.
It is.
You just transfer that over to the next stage.
Yeah, that'd be... You know, what's funny is if he trained hard, he could.
Yeah, he's very talented.
Yeah, very talented. Just need
folks to take that okay?
That work ethic. Focus
Brett handle
and
that
drive.
Okay?
What'd you say?
Did Brett handle that cancellation okay with not getting a fight?
Yeah, Brett handles things how Brett handles things, you know. He's Brett. But, you know, I think that we're helping him out a little bit, becoming a you know, an adult and a better person and stuff, and it's working out for him, you know. It's going to be a long process, but, you know, he got dropped on our doorstep in a little basket, and we're going to raise this little baby.
I thought you got thrown out of the car in front of your gym.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't pay child support on him, so he's not my responsibility, but I'm going to help him out, you know?
When are we going to see Eric Ortiz again? Let's cut
Eric Ortiz. We want to get him back in there ASAP for some kickboxing. It's he loves kickboxing. He's very good at it. He's quick. He's fast. It's just his training has been slacking lately, you know? That's all. I try to call him and get him in the gym and shit, but he's just being a lazy little bastard.
Now, is kickboxing more probably in his future than MMA, or?
Yeah, definitely. He's actually got diabetes, and so, like, I have to give him cupcakes and, like, candy and shit in the corner instead of water. And
oh, wow.
And that's no joke. Like, literally, like, I'll be like, here, eat this. And, like, he'll have, like, a Jolly Rancher or something while the other guy's getting water and shit. It's fucking hilarious. So it's hard to get, like, a doctor to okay him. It's hard to get a doctor to okay him to do full MMA, you know, since the laws change and stuff. But kickboxing, nobody gives a shit about those guys, so he gets to go out there and do what he loves to do, you know?
Yeah, and he's good at it.
You know, and
he
that's no respect. That's no disrespect to them. That's just how the laws ended up happening, you know? You know,
yeah,
he
had a great fight.
He kickboxes beautifully, and, you know, so does his last opponent out there, you know, that one dude, he's good.
Isn't that who he fought? That was a fucking awesome fight.
Let's talk to Duncan for a minute.
All right, hey. Duncan, come here, buddy. It's all you, man.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, man.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you, sir.
Hey, tell everybody who you are, what your record is, where you train out of. Just give them a little quick, what happened last night?
Oh, well, my name's Duncan Vance. I'm from Skagit County, Washington, Mount Vernon, the city and the county. I train out of Live Wire MMA. Matt Coble's my coach. I fight at 125 pounds. My record is 4-2 as an amateur. I've got 2 TKOs, 2 first-round submissions, and a couple losses that I got on decisions. I last night, at the Battle of Bay, I was a 7th fight. Had a 3-round battle with a guy named Hunter Claggett. I got a unanimous decision. I almost broke my hand on the guy. Kid had a hard head and a little even harder resolve. I couldn't put him down. I tried. Gave him just about everything I had, but he was tough enough to stick it out. And, I think I gave him 11 stitches over his eye and a couple black eyes. I'm still looking pretty.
That was a great fight.
That's a great fight.
It was a good fight.
I didn't notice that you were pretty before, but being that this time I was a judge right next to the ring girls, what the fuck? I don't hear the ring girls screaming for everybody, but these ring girls were all up on you.
You know, I know those girls actually personally, and I got a couple winks and nods, and that was a little bit of a bonus there.
You did great, man. I saw a big improvement in your cardio. It seems things are coming together for you good. It looks like things are going real well for you there.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good. We switched it up from last time. I'm a wrestler, I guess, at heart. You know, I did that in high school. Personally, I'd like to stand and bang with just about anybody. I'm not afraid to throw hands with anybody in my weight class or, you know, any weight class within a couple of mine. But, you know, I've been working on my jiu-jitsu a lot with Matt, and I'm trying to progress through my belts. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to be a well-rounded, better fighter.
I love what you did on the takedowns. Every time he took you down, like 9 times out of 10, you switched, you reversed him immediately with whatever the hell that was. You got like an underneath one arm, and you just keep it going. Kept the momentum going and flopped him right back. Took you down, and you just kept it rolling. Wham! All of a sudden, he's down in your mouth over and over. That's crazy.
Yeah, I kind of had a half a guillotine with an underhook roll over it. Hunter's a short guy, and he had some, you know, he's about 3-4 inches shorter than I am, and he had a good strong base, and he could get in there on me, and I, instead of maybe fighting the sprawl, I thought maybe I could capitalize and end on the mount and start raining some punches down.
Yeah, you did over and over. That's great. Very entertaining fight. Good job, man. Keep up the hard work.
Hey, appreciate it. It was a pleasure to be there, that's for sure.
I'm going to get you back over to Kickway Combat soon.
Yeah, definitely. I love your promotions. It'd be great, man. It's always a pleasure to be in your show.
September 14th, for sure.
Don't tell him that, man. Don't tell him that, Duncan. Don't boost his ego too much. You got to be careful with this guy.
All right.
Hey, dude, how nice is it having Matt in the corner, even though he has a fight coming up later in the night? You know, not a lot of guys have that going on in their corner, and you know.
It's a pretty big boost, to tell you the truth. You know, not a lot of guys get to spar with their coach, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, and not a lot of guys get to see their coach go through the weight cut with them and, you know, push through it. And sometimes we lean on each other, you know, and I think it's a privilege for us students of Matt's to be able to bear the weight with him sometimes, you know. And I love having a fighter coach as my motivation because I know he goes through everything we go through, and we're in this together, you know. It's a war we're going to and a battle we fight.
Yeah, and he's not asking you guys to do anything he won't do, and you see him do it.
No. Yeah, not at all. No, he's sweating every day. This guy runs, you know, he's at the gym from about 11 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, 6 days a week, you know, and I'm only there for, you know, if I'm lucky, I get to do a double day, you know, maybe 3-4 times a week, but, you know, Matt's putting in a good 6 hours of training every day, you know, 6 days a week, and it's impressive to have him as an example.
He's a good coach.
Do you know what do you have coming up?
Well, I was going to get on at the Cage Wars, but I have some personal things I got to do. We have a cancer fundraiser we're doing here in Skagit County. My girlfriend and her family put it on, but I'm probably going to do the I probably have a jiu-jitsu tournament that day, submission challenge, and then you know, get back in the Cage Warrior Combat. I love that promotion. I want to fight there again, definitely. I had a 3-round decision. It didn't go my way last time, so I really want to get back in there and get a W and show the boys that I'm there to bang.
Awesome.
Right on.
It was great to talk to you, man. I was really impressed with you last night. Keep it up.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from you, too.
Give us back to your ugly coach.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks, Duncan. What up? What's going on, man? Hey, yeah, that's Duncan Vance right there. He's the boy. He's the man.
So, hey, who
do you have fighting August 3rd? Anybody?
August 3rd, I don't have anybody on the card. It's crazy.
Man.
Let's see here. You know, we would have been available and everything, but I got to be honest, with me fighting on the 20th, that's what I was focused on. And, you know, if they need anybody filling, you know, Jeff knows to hit me up. I got plenty of guys to cover every weight class, and I got a lot of guys training tough. So we'll fill in any spot for need. We'll be the backup plan.
We got to talk right away because I had 3 people drop today. So I need definitely to
talk. All right. Let's talk about it when we get off the phone, dude.
Yeah, one pro and three amateurs, so definitely need to talk.
All right. Yeah, that's four guys.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So, before we cut you loose, Matt, you want to thank sponsors, shout outs, all that bullshit, tell them how to find your gym and all that?
All that bullshit? Yeah, I'll start off with, no, I'm just joking. Yeah, actually, first off, like, I'm not even joking. I said this to Northwest Fight Scene last night. Like, they were interviewing me and stuff. I was like, look, I get punched in the face. I'm like, before, it would make me, like, want to fall down and, like, lay on the ground. But now I'm just like, bam, I just keep going. So I got my Clinch Custom mouth guard in. Jeff, you do a great job making those things. I wore the one you just made me last night, not the old one that I always wear. So I just want to let you know that. Nice. Also, I got handmade apparel. I always give them the shout-out because, you know, they press everything with vinyl. Handmade, they don't mess anything up, and they give a great deal on orders, and they're local. You know, we got to keep our local businesses happening and going. That's who's making it work for, you know, the communities. And, you know, I got to give a shout-out to old Landon Showalter. That's my coach. That's my boy. That's, you know, that's who did me dirty. That's who beat me up and, you know, made me who I am. And then also last night, Charlie Pearson wrapped my hands, and I got to give a shout-out to him, too. He did a great job wrapping my hands, and he's a master at what he does, and, you know, he just – just him wrapping my hands gave me some motivation too. So it's crazy how things work like that. So I just want to go ahead and thank everybody, including the crowd, anybody who loves MMA, anybody who feels that they're affiliated with MMA for whatever reason, whether or not it's the 10 years you put into it or your tap out shirt. You know, I don't care. Like, you're a part of the sport. I love you guys all. Thank you.
Cool, Matt. We'll talk tonight.
All right. Well, you guys have a good one, man. I'm gonna stream this stuff later and listen to it all and laugh at myself.
Perfect.
All right, man. Hey, it sounds like I'll be seeing you August 3rd at Cage Warrior Combat then, apparently.
Yes, sir. I'll see you guys.
All right. Yeah. Later, Matt.
All right, later.
All right.
Dude, I'm just not getting to go over some of these results, you know, because I was on the river all day smoking cigars.
Yeah.
And I'm really kind of surprised by some of these things.
Which ones?
Hey,
well, I'm kind
fuck
of,
you.
What?
Which results? Where are you? What are you talking about? Where are you read? What's going? Which results?
What are you freaking out about, man?
No, I'm asking. I just sat back down, and I heard you say talking about the results. I want to know what event you're talking about.
Well, right now I'm looking at Northwest Fight Challenge. I'm just looking at the outcomes of some of the fights. So I'm like, wow, really?
Yeah, there's some surprises.
So there's one that's
we've
not
got
surprise,
them all.
Here's one that's yeah. I know, dude. Everything's fine. I'm just saying that some of the things that happened, I didn't expect to happen. Give you nothing wrong with the results, buddy. You can take
so,
three deep breaths.
Which fight are you talking
the
about?
The one thing
I'm wasn't
the surprise
fighting.
Was Larry Pereira winning by Kimura. Go figure. Hey. If I could have just had a fucking quarter for every time this guy wins a fight by Kimura, we'd all be millionaires.
Well, and if you were Mike LeBlanc, you'd have a broken arm. So,
did he break
what
it?
About Woo Johnson,
yeah.
Bro?
He did. Hold on, he did break it.
Yeah.
Damn.
He's a strong Hawaiian. What about Woo? He caught him. I talked to him in Kevin's corner, and I said, you know, Was it dirty? Was it a lot of shit? Was it, you know, shots to the back of the head that ended it? And he said, no, man, it was over before then. Those were maybe unnecessary shots. And, you know, it did look like they hit the back of his head, but the fight was over. It was the fair shots with him coming in that ended it, and he just got hit those extra couple times because the ref was slow and too far away.
It was that first hook that fucking rocked him, like right behind the ear, it looked like.
Yeah, it was totally. And Wu is a monster, dude. He's knocked you out with either hand, any punch, play jabs, anything, so... He's a big, humongous 155. Humongous. I don't even know how he does it. He's crazy. And he just came up from 45, so he's obviously gaining weight. I don't know if he's going to go to 70 or 205. He's enormous.
What is he, like a little Anthony Johnson?
He's pretty yoked, man. He's really yoked. And he's young. He's not even
like Woo, Little Rumble. Woo, Little Rumble Johnson?
Yeah. Goddamn. He's tough. He's a good kid, too. He's a nice guy. And he's dangerous. I don't want my guys fighting him because he's dangerous. They can fight him for a title. That's it.
I'm curious how the first round went with Nick Cougar and Luis Bargero.
Nick Coffrin, bro. Coffrin. I don't know.
Coffrin.
He's not a coin from South Africa, bro. He's not a Cougaran. I don't know what the fuck.
I always think Cougarang. I don't know why. It's like I just want his name to be Cougarang. You guys all know who I meant.
Well, yeah, we know who you meant because you're talking about Cougarans, and we know you're not going to South Africa. You tend to
Coffrin.
Hibernate down in Coffrin. New Zealand with the koala bears and shit.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm curious how the first round went because I know that, and shut up, I know that he obviously got knocked out in the second, but I'm curious, how he fought
so observant.
First. I heard you. I don't like you talking shit about my koala bear. I'm about to have her come up here and knock you out.
Yeah, okay.
And yes, I'm not afraid to have my girl whoop you.
I'm not afraid to have your girl whoop me.
Bring it. I'll wrestle her all night.
Come on now, all night? Let's be talking about a few times.
Dude, 63 times in an hour once. I held a title for that shit.
That's a title.
Hey, I don't know about you, but I was raised that as long as I'm happy, it's all good.
Well, yeah, naturally.
Exactly.
So you can say like a 2-pump jump or like a 1-pump jump?
No, it's 3 pumps and a dump, and I'll call you tomorrow. Here's taxi money.
Yeah, dude, you know? Bernie Mac had the best skit ever about that.
Honestly, one of the greatest comedians in the last 15, 20 years, and for him to pass away, it sucked because he was funny.
Oh, yeah. He died like the very first fire I think I ever was on, Bernie Mac died. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, this is horrible.
And he came out of nowhere, too.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch his Def Jam stuff, dude. I have, like, a whole collection of Bernie Mac DVDs. He was probably, like, my favorite comedian for a while.
He's funny because he didn't have to be funny. He could be funny swearing or not swearing. That's a real comedian to me.
Oh, yeah. You don't like the dirty comedian?
No, I like it, too, but I just think it says a lot about the comedian if they can be funny without that. Some of them can't be funny without, throwing that in there.
Stephen Wright, there's a guy who could be funny without throwing around bad words at all. That guy is just... Stephen Wright kills me, man. That guy's funny as shit.
Yeah. So,
he had
a
joke about...
Fight.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
There you go.
I was
going to
say, he had a joke about going and delivering paper to his grandma's house. That was, fake printed paper. You know how you can get those newspaper articles. But with her obituary in it for the next day, because she used to love to read obituaries. Oh, man, that is just some funny shit.
See, I gotta match up some fights. So when we get off the show here, I need to talk to both you guys and get some ideas and some stuff. I see what you think.
Hey, so what was the best fight you saw last night besides Cobo, obviously? How was the Johnny Gilbertson fight? I know it was quick, but...
Yeah, it was a good fight. It was good for Johnny. The other guy was doing fine.
Yeah.
He kind of got him fired up to begin with. I thought everything was cool. And then he came out, when they came to the middle, he got almost kissed him. I mean, he was right bumping foreheads with him, like trying to intimidate him. And that's just not a good idea to do with Johnny. He's a nice guy, and he wouldn't even fall for it, and he wouldn't do it. And... Well, they're both really talented. One guy from Jiu-Jitsu and he's supposed to be a stud, and Johnny's Johnny. And it was high level for sure, and they were just real fast, a lot of action. But Johnny just too much. The other guy tapped his strikes, and it's not one of those where you'd be like, you're such a bitch. It was like, damn right he tapped the strikes. He was stuck in Johnny's triangle in kind of a side mount, not quite mounted triangle, but kind of on the side, and Johnny threw... one after another, elbows into his face until he tapped. Anybody would have tapped. Because it's like the kind of thing that wasn't concussive trauma. You know, it wouldn't have knocked him out. You could have hit him 20 more times, it wouldn't have knocked him out. But his face was falling apart. So it was wicked. He's really good.
So it was a submission or a TKO?
It was a tap to strike.
Wow, man. Somebody's getting faulty results on MMAMadhouse.com. What the fuck? You know, well, this is the kind of shit, you know, amateur hour.
Hey, don't be ripping my wife. She turned those in. You're going to have to see her. Do it at your own risk. You know, she'll sneak attack you, shoot off an air horn when you're trying to do something, scare the shit out of you.
I know, man. She likes to do that. So I've come up with I've got a new plan for this Cage Warrior Combat because I can't just trust these guys getting it done in time to catch the damn ferry. So I think I'm going to take this alternative route up there.
Well, we're starting earlier, remember? We're starting at 6 instead of 7, so that should make a difference.
And how many fights are there this time?
Two less fights. Right now there's 14. There's probably going to be 12 or 13. 14 at the most.
There's going to be 14. Yeah, see, there's going to be 14. Plus, you know, we're going to have to do a quick little... We're going to be, you know... Yeah. It's going to be different, bro.
Alex Corrales is one title fight, and Rob Cam's the other title fight. And the girl title fight.
It's
going to
be crazy.
Awesome. So we'll be... You and I will be play-by-play on the internet pay-per-view. It'll be cool.
Oh,
it's gonna be fun.
Shit.
Hey,
right now, I got to tell you, I'm excited, and I know there's a fan right now listening who just asked me if my wife was in the room. And I tell you right now, me and him are going to team up. And if you make one mistake, Lepaki, we're going to blast the shit out of you for all the times you blast people in commentary. So have your game tight, because my partner riding shotgun that night, the man himself, will be on Twitter with me just dying for you to mess up.
Who's that?
I encourage it.
Who is this?
Dude, this is like the gangster social media.
Who's robbing their
back? I don't.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, it's all right. You guys can be Fat Lady and Spider Woman. It's cool.
Call us the two guys doing the play-by-play. That's all I know. You can call us whatever you want. From your couch. You call your little chair, your fancy desk.
Hey, I was asked again today by Eddie Blackburn if you're going to make it to Cage Quest.
Eddie.
I'm really kind of upset that Eddie Blackburn hasn't called in to the show yet to tell us about how his guys did last night at Northwest Fight Challenge. Apparently.
I think you should call him, Skip. Don't let him beg on us. Let's stalk him until he answers.
Apparently, we
dude,
just weren't high enough.
Well, is the Yankees game over?
Hey, watch your fucking mouth.
Oh, Eddie. Eddie's pouting. He's probably in the corner crying, shaking like a victim, man. I'm like, I feel 30.
No, man, the game's still on, dude. It's just tied up right now in the 11th. Fool. Calm down.
It's about to be that way when you lose. When Boston had the walk-off grand slam home run.
What the fuck are you smoking, dude?
Oh, jeez. You already know that.
You owe me
you
two dozen muffins now. You owe me two dozen muffins
now. Actually, we're going to make some this week, and I was going to shoot them to you.
In like a fucking potato gun?
No, dude. I'll just mail them to you like a birthday gift. I'm going to put a bunch of, like, girly stuff in there, like tampons and Vagisil and a teddy bear and mail it to you.
Make sure you put handcuffs in it.
Handcuffs, that makes it all better.
Yeah. Handcuffs wraps it all together, you know.
Yeah.
Handcuffs will just bring it all around.
Vagisil and some tampons and some handcuffs? Which one of these does not belong?
He's thinking... On Tuesday night, Sherry comes over, she can have the first one. Friday night, when Tammy comes over, she can have the second. And on Saturday night, when Bill comes over, I can have the third.
That's funny. But no fights
next week. Can you believe there's people that still eat at Taco Bell?
No. People over 18?
Yeah.
Wow.
They eat a Taco Bell. I'm kind of shocked.
I'm gross.
Dude, so this is a work week for you, buddy. What will you be doing at the event on Saturday at Key Arena?
Be a corner official.
So what does that mean? Will you be the guy watching them getting greased up, or will you be doing the greasing? Will I see you on TV?
Yeah, you'll see me every other fight. You'll see me holding the cage door open for them to come in, and then holding it open waiting for them to come back out. You'll most definitely see me on every other fight for the whole night on pay-per-view or whatever, on Fox. Undercard, everything.
Will we see you allowing fighters to grease their shoulders?
No. We actually had an issue with that last night, and I had to go in the cage. Someone's corner tried to do a little last-minute work, and I had to go in and remedy the situation, and I'm going to address that person, but... people try to get away with it. The fighter was oblivious, but...
How are you oblivious to somebody greasing your shoulders?
Well, because you just got your face done. Everybody's like, you know, slapping you on the back and the shoulders. You know, you're just getting ready to walk in the cage, and one guy does it to the back of your neck. You don't know. I mean, so he did it, and...
No, you do know.
He's gonna hear about it from me, and it better not happen again. Because it was kind of embarrassing, because, you know, it got by me. I was checking that fight in, and the inspector, Jeff Bourgeois, was standing there, and Stormy was on the other side of him, and they saw him do it, and I didn't see it, so they told me so I could go fix it, but so it kind of embarrassed me, and you don't do that shit. It wasn't needed. The person still won. It's just, there's no place for that. They don't need an advantage. It's just, don't try pulling that shit with me. If it happens again, you'll be dead.
What will happen? We'll be looking at a suspension.
Huh? It won't be in the corner.
We'll be
like... that fight. It won't be allowed in the corner again. It won't be good. It makes you look really bad. You can see public knowledge. You can set it before you need to see. It doesn't look good for anybody. It doesn't help you get fights. It disrespects your gym, your coach, your everybody. It's stupid. And it wouldn't give much advantage. And I guess I could, but it's not necessary. I wouldn't want it for me. I wouldn't want someone to, you know, give me some advantage like that and make my neck greasy so when they try to clinch me that they can't. I can understand because the person they fought is a grab a hold of you and fight you kind of guy, so I suppose if you were slippery, it would make his game a little tougher. But I just don't want to see it again. It pisses me off.
But, I will tell you what didn't piss me off last night was I was watching Jungle Fights 55. And in the bantamweight flyweight title fight, holy macaroni, man. Junior Boya, this dude, man, I didn't think he was going to win the fight going into it. But he flat beat the crap out of Marcus Vinicius Cabaquina. It was a fucking stellar little fight, but Boya, he came out of nowhere, man, in a late replacement and ended up winning the interim title. It was a great fucking fight. But there was some shady refereeing going on down there at Jungle Fights 55, too.
Hey, well, I got you guys real quick. Hey, a fan wants to ask you, Lapaki, what you thought of a fight Friday night, or Saturday night. Friday night, yeah, it was Friday. Go ahead, you're
Friday
live,
night?
Caller.
I might not have watched it. I don't remember what I did Friday night.
Well, you're live, 505.
You slept.
You got me in now, brother?
Yep. Go ahead and ask Lapaki what you...
I'm just curious what you guys thought about those head kicks fucking Friday night.
See, I didn't watch them on Friday night.
The Holly Holmes, Alana Jones, you didn't see that head kick?
Nope.
That was nasty.
Oh.
Out of nowhere. Oof.
Come on, dude.
What'd you think of it?
What'd you think of it, Christoph?
Christoph? What the hell?
What the hell? who else calls in from the 505, man? That's what I was busting fucking Skippy balls, dude. I mean, look, really.
Dude, here's how, like, bad that you shouldn't lead. You shouldn't lead with that. Because when you said 505, I had no idea where the fuck that was at. I was just like sitting there going, wow, 505. I was like,
Yeah, when are you going to get a Texas number?
Yeah, dude, why don't you have a Texas number? That's where you're always out in the middle of Texas.
Middle of fuck nowhere.
Hey, now, you guys want to hear something messed up is, he's 30 minutes from Trey, and Trey's on an ankle bracelet and can't come visit him. Dude, yeah. Hey, you know, but it's honestly, I got to say, dude, that fight, and anybody out there disagrees, you guys can always call in and disagree with us. We've still got like 15 minutes left, but I felt the first round, Alana Jones held her own on her feet. She was really good with the counterboxing. And she kept working the low stance, working the head. And round two, Holly just – and I – dude, Jeff and me were watching the fight together. I said, Jeff, she sees something in Alana's work right here. There's something going on Alana's doing. Because Holly Holmes has just, like, completely changed her game. Like, she started standing back and watching her drop that shoulder. And as soon as she dropped that shoulder, boom, out of nowhere,
right.
Head kick.
Right. Well, that's, you know, Holly Holm comes from, you know, her stand-up game, too. You know, that's, she's just brand new, introduced to MMA. You know, her whole thing was boxing, you know. She whooped every boxer's ass out here. Or not out here, but in New Mexico, where anybody's trying to challenge her, you know, she's a top-notch boxer, dude. She whoops some ass.
Skippy, we need to call Dave right away.
You got it.
He just messaged me. I think he's got Mike.
But why doesn't everybody say that a wrestler would beat her up, but they say that a wrestler would beat up Floyd Mayweather?
What?
I don't understand why people say that a wrestler would beat up Floyd Mayweather, but they don't say a wrestler would beat up Holly Holm. She must chain at Jackson's, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. Here we go, training at Jackson's.
I
don't know why you got a fucking
She won't train there long, dude. If she finishes too many fights, Jackson's...
Dude, I got a little bit of a bloody nose for the first time in a while. I don't understand. You have a tampon up your ass for Jackson for some reason.
Oh, my goodness. No, I got caught with a big six. Like, in round three, we went three hard rounds, and I got caught with a big six in round three pretty good.
Hey, guys, everybody, so we know, the day for Shane is now join the show.
Yeah, I'm getting beat up by Kiesa.
How was it, man? Did you get any good shots?
Yeah, he caught me. Caught me, Colby.
Did you catch him?
Huh? Not as good as he hit me. You try to hit him harder than he hit you. He hit me harder today.
He's looking good.
Ready
for
the game. You try to hit the person harder than they hit you. So,
he had
more takedowns than me.
So is this his last hard session was tonight?
Yeah, today was his last hard go, I think. We're going to grapple one more time tomorrow, then he's out. Then he leaves me, and then I'm done. I've done my job. I've done everything I could.
Are you going to go watch in person, or are you going to watch?
No, I can't go watch a UFC fight until I'm on one. It's just one of those things. Later, Mikey. See you tomorrow. But no, I can't. It's like... I didn't go to a varsity football game in high school until I was on varsity. You know, I don't want to go to the show and have to pay for stuff. I'd rather go, you know, and not have to pay and be on the show. So, plus, I'll probably get mad because I'll be able to beat up most of the people, a lot of people on the show, I bet, in my mind. You know, it's like, oh, I could beat that guy up, I could beat that guy up, and I could beat that guy up.
What do you think about Mike Cerrone?
I mean, we're very similar. We have very similar styles, so, you know, I'm a perfect training partner for Masvidal, right? Masvidal?
Yeah.
He has this very similar style. He's brown, I'm brown.
He has a traditional boxing stance, kind of like a more straight up, upright. So, you know, and that's kind of what I did. So, like, even for his whole camp here, like, my job was just to imitate Masvidal. So that's kind of how I fought. So I just kind of, I didn't really chase him around a lot. I didn't fight like normal Dave Cruchane, you know. I fought like Masvidal. I didn't really shoot, you know. I let him bring the action to me, and then I got a counterpunch. And I was trying to fight just like him. I watched a lot of tape on him. So.
What does that do to your own game, though, when you spend so much time imitating another fighter?
Well, it's not. It evolves. This is MMA. It's not like you're always imitating him. At times, I'm throwing my own punches, but, like, I know I'm not allowed to shoot, you know? So I can't, like, normally I'd shoot against Mike and try to take him down and grind on him and practice. That's just usually how I fight. But it makes me, like, try to, you know, look for other angles, different opportunities to capitalize on. So it does definitely make it harder, if that's what you're asking.
But how much does it also help you, though?
Oh, tremendous, tremendous help. I mean, you're learning all kinds of new ways of fighting, you know, and I love learning, you know. So, but really, Rick's a good coach. He's on top of my, I mean, he's ready. I mean, he's as ready as Cody was when Cody fought Leonard Garcia. I mean, we were banging it out today. It wasn't fun. I caught him early. I think the first round I caught him with a big punch. So he wasn't on right away. You know, I started out a little bit better than him. But he finished strong, so that was a good thing. He's in better shape than I am right now. But he's got a fight in 6 days, so you'd imagine he's been training 2 days, last 7 days.
Who else was he? Were you the only one in there with him tonight?
Yeah. When we go hard like that, we don't like people around. Even like, remember how I told you it was me and Cody? It was me, Cody, and my fiance, and Adam. Yeah, what's her name showed up, and I think and Rick kind of rushed her off, that Juliana Pena, Vixen. She showed up at the beginning of practice, but she was just going to walk, I think. But, yeah, Rick runs that chance there. He knows those fighters. We're not there to impress people, especially when we're training for a big camp like he is. Just to do your job, you know, you don't want people there watching you, per se. So,
how do you think she's going to do on the show?
What's that?
How do you think Julie's going to do on the show?
How do you think she's going to do on the show?
Yeah.
I think she's going to do awesome. I think she's going to win the whole thing if she's not in the finals. I don't know for sure if she's in the finals. But there's a lot of weird rumors floating around that she might be. But I'm thinking she's in the finals.
I bet she's in the final, and I don't know if she wins, but I bet she makes it to the final.
I bet she's in the finals. I think she's in the finals. Or, you know what I mean? Because, like,
how funny would it be if she's on? How funny would it be if she's on Ronda's
team? On Ronda's team? I don't think she would be. She likes Misha. Her and Misha train a lot.
Yeah, I know, but
Misha naturally would have picked her. They're friends.
Would it surprise any of you guys if it was her and maybe Jessamyn in the finals?
Nope.
What?
Motherfucker. Which one of you fucking assholes said that somebody's going to hit a walk-off home run? You fucking faggot. Motherfucker.
Bam! The Yankees go down like a $10 girl on the corner.
What?
Thanks, Skippy.
Is that your new button, Skippy?
Yes.
His new sport.
That's awesome. So is Rick Lewis going to hook
bullshit.
You up with me? Did you bitch?
Yes.
Did you bitch enough?
Yes. Yes.
Rick Little
take acts, care of
Rick Little
now
doesn't
on.
Know who Skippy is.
Fucking
don't
Yankees.
Know who I am. That's fine. That was funny shit, man.
Yankee.
How
the
hell do you not know who you are?
Skippy, you're fired.
That's fine.
You're fired, Skippy. First night on the fucking show, and you give me Rick Little and Kristoff. What the fuck?
Yankee Phantom East Coast. Come on, bro.
Right?
What the fuck?
Throwing it at ya.
Guys, we got 5 minutes left of live air. Let me give a quick shout out to our sponsors. We want to give a big shout out to Mikey Ruckus. You guys can find him on Facebook, Mikey underscore Ruckus on Twitter. Also, you can find him on, what is it, SoundCloud, I believe. Revolver MMA at RevolverMMA.com. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards at GetClinched.com. And MMA Madhouse at MMAMadhouse.com for all your local coverage. The best mouth guards, the best fight gear, and the best fight music. All one package, only found on the Sunday Night MMA Breakdown.
Dude, yeah. We have the best fighters on.
Hell yeah.
And
yeah,
every week you can hear Dave Corsain. He's on a roll here lately. He needs to just keep calling back in every Sunday night. He's doing
what?
Great lately.
Whatever.
Dave's not here.
I dropped my phone in the water last week. So, like, as soon as, what's her name, Elizabeth came on, like, I was brushing my teeth. And then, like, I had the phone. I haven't had my earpiece since, like, it makes everything go static-y, you guys say. So I was washing my teeth, and I said, no, I dropped the phone in the water, and he couldn't turn it on. I was all pissed off. But I still have the same phone. I got it to dry out.
Hey, how did Ryan and them do at the grappling tournament?
Ryan, what happened? He got disqualified. He was winning. He was in the final, or he was just the guy that won the whole thing in Gi. And he ended up, going for an illegal heel hook. I guess heel hooks are illegal, and he went for it, and they disqualified him right away.
Oh, he lost
the
wife.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's gay. So, I think Adam was too big of a weight. I don't think he did that well either. So, I think he did, 196 or something. He fought this weekend at 55.
Who did?
Adam Smith.
Oh, yeah. He's got the most he's so much better than his record says.
Huh? His record?
He's so much better of a fighter than his record says. Man.
Oh, dude. Well, you know, that's the same goes with me. When I first started, I was 0-2. So everybody has been, you know, I had a couple bad beats, and Adam's biggest thing, like you said, there's a lot of fighters out there that don't know how to fight a complete fight. And it's so hard. It's not easy to fight a complete fight. You know, it takes years of training and just, to harness your, you know, you can't use everything you got at all times. Like, that's the biggest thing. When I train with people, they ask, how do you last so long? I'm like, dude, I know how to relax and go on autopilot when you're going crazy. I just kind of ride in a bull. I just let you freak out and just hold on. You know, that's the biggest thing with Adam. He's like a big badass quarter horse, and he's in a race, and he goes out full on as hard as he can run right out the gate. Instead of going out, relax, go hard, go slow, go fast, go hard, go slow. You know what I mean? It's like having sex. You can't just freaking beat it up as hard as you can, right? The whole time. Unless your name's Skippy.
Hey, what does everybody think about this fight? Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Pat Healy.
Is this Afghani versus Oregon grown? We could call this the weed war. Afghanistan, Kush versus
Oregon. I don't think he's from
Pativa.
Afghanistan. I think he's from Russia there, fella.
Close enough.
I didn't have a fight.
I think it'll be a good fight, too. It's going down in September and fucking in Toronto.
In Toronto?
Hey, you know what's a better fight card? Well, we got a minute left. EFC Africa, folks. We got four heavyweight title fights. Or heavyweight bout fights, sorry. That's going to be a great event.
Hi, Kiara. Everybody went silent. Nobody wants to talk.
we're just letting you watch.
Man, I like my Clinch Custom mouth guard. Man, they did so well tonight. My Clinch Custom mouth guard. It stays in my mouth so good when I'm taking those big shots from the Ultimate Fighter winner.
Oh,
Nice.
Is landing good shots on the Ultimate Fighter winner like a better feeling than landing good shots on most other guys in the gym?
As long as I'm hitting them more than they're hitting me. Mike's hard to fight, man. He's tall. He's lanky. I mean, he's strong. Like, he's like a weird strong. He's like a goofy strong, but he's athletic. He's like Cody, but more athletic. So,
who's a harder spar, him or Sam, for you?
Oh, by far, Mike. Sam hits harder, though. I don't know, man. I don't know. Mike's been getting a lot better lately with his power. I mean, he gave me, like, seriously, I haven't had a bloody nose since my boxing fight. My last boxing fight, when I fought that black guy, the last time I lost, like, in boxing, a long half time ago, last time I had a bloody nose. I did get a big one. It was like, I blew my nose and there was blood in it. I was like, oh, you got me good. So, I was like, why you gotta make me bleed, Mike? So he just pushed him, kick him when he's not looking. No. No, he's a stud, man. I can't wait to watch him fight. I mean, I love seeing him do so well. And fuck. Plus he's a Spokane boy and he's one of my teammates. Why else wouldn't I want to see him win?
Well, hey, folks, we're going to wrap this up. I want to tell everybody, man, I really appreciate all the guests tonight, everybody calling in. Dave, it's always great to bullshit with you, and thanks for always having Matt out his back. I like the lifetime press pass. I think I'm going to start asking for that more.
Right?
Well, Lepaki, you guys, anybody got anything to say before we cut it loose?
It's a big week. It's a quiet week in the Pac Northwest since UFC came up here. I don't think there's many events going on besides that.
One. That's it. The fight for
Ellie. Fucking up the mojo.
There's a
call.
Hold on. There's a fight next Saturday night for Team Evolution putting them on. It's called the Fight for Ellie. It's a fundraiser for this little girl that has cancer. So if anybody's not going to UFC in the Northwest, kick out those fights for a great cause. We need a bunch of different kinds of fights there. It's really a great thing that they're doing there to try and raise money for this little girl, so help out. Good job.
That's it.
Hey, Lepaki, wake up, dude. You're sleeping.
We're all here, bro.
No, you're sleeping, dude. You're like on a rib comatose, dude.
You're sleeping, bro. At the bomb rip.
I wish.
Okay, folks. Eagle.
All right. Later.
Peace.